Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. And I'm joined here in the studio by my good friend, Martha Jo Black, author, daughter of the late MLB pitcher Joe Black, and the author of the book, Joe Black, More Than a Dodger.
Yes.
And this is kind of our traditional February.
Yes, this is my fifth time. I'm very excited. Thank you.
And joining us on the phone, a special guest, is Bree Anderson, who is the...
Hi.
Hey, Bree, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I bet the weather's a bit nicer out there than it is back here in Chicago.
It's amazing. The girls and I just got out of the pool.
Oh, you had to do that,
yeah,
didn't you? Thank you so much. Well, Bree is the wife of White Sox star shortstop Tim Anderson, and they have a charity, Anderson's League of Leaders, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but I kind of wanted to go back to Martha Jo, and in the previous segment, I had Todd Mayfield on,
right.
And what I was telling him off the air, because I said I was going to talk to you about it on the air, is you learn so much about Black history from the people who are living it in these books, in your book,
correct,
in Todd's book, and especially for, you know, a white kid like me who grew up in the suburbs, where it, you know, the civil rights struggle was maybe just talked about by a teacher.
Right.
You live this.
To a certain degree. I somewhat grew up like you, though.
Understood.
Yeah, I'm in Arizona.
But in his story of what he went through.
Yes, he did. He relayed a lot of information to me during my growing up in Arizona, saying that, oh, well, kid, you're very lucky, and gave me some examples of what he had to go through. So that's why, even to this day, I'm very fortunate. So we're going to vote, as you talk about a lot. I know that a lot of people died and got hurt for me to be able to vote. So I definitely vote, and it really hurts my heart when younger people say, oh, they're not going to change anything for me. And I was like, but no one's going to know anything that you want until you vote.
Well, and that's why I talk about civic engagement being so necessary.
Correct.
When you look again at the civil rights struggles of the past, and it really wasn't that long ago.
No,
in this
wasn't.
Nation's history.
No.
And have we grown by leaps and bounds?
No. We've actually, in my personal opinion, we have gone backwards a great deal.
That's kind of why I asked Todd Mayfield that question about, you know, the divisions. We're in this. I mean, certainly there were great divisions in the 60s.
Oh,
in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I mean, my dad told me about white and black drinking fountains, and you can't go to this restaurant, and so on and so forth. But we have unfortunately gone, in my personal opinion, yes, I just turned 50 last year, and I've lived
here
for a while.
Wow, I didn't even have to ask that.
Yes, I'm very honest about that. But I have seen, unfortunately, a lot of people go backwards. It has nothing to do with race. It should be what's in somebody's heart. Your color has nothing to do with anything, because if we all get cut, we all bleed red.
And, I mean, that's just fundamental. And,
right.
I mean, Bree, I think of you, your husband, Tim, and, I mean, the superstar that he is. And I'll admit, for full disclosure, yes, I'm a Cubs fan, but
he comes from
Ballpark.
But I live in the South Loop, so I go to more Sox games. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, it's you look at baseball from the era of Martha Jo's father, where he's in a living in a neighborhood without true segregation.
Correct.
And there's baseball scouts that show up at the high school, and he's asking these scouts, why aren't you scouting me? And they said, well, because you're colored. You can't play baseball. I mean, that just kind of breaks your heart right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we move forward to, you know, you and Tim and the League of Leaders charity, which is, you know, a payback. It's a give back to, you know, help kids who, you know, are not going to have necessarily the best outcomes. So tell me what the League of Leaders charity is.
Yeah, so our charity was founded in 2017. In May of 2017, Tim lost his best friend, Brandon, who's also the godfather to our oldest daughter, Peyton. Brandon was a lot like Tim. They, you know, a great guy. He had a daughter as well, a fiance. So when he passed away, I think it just really hit home. You know, it could have been my husband or, you know, my brother or anyone. So we started our charity. Brandon, Tim's friend, was murdered to gun violence. So we immediately knew what cause we wanted to tackle, especially with us being on the south side of Chicago and the gun violence rate being so extremely high. It just felt like a good fit, and it has been.
Well, and one of the things in talking to people about the League of Leaders is that you both devote real time to this. This isn't like dropping in, saying hi to some kids, and leaving. It's like,
not at all.
It's very
important. Yeah, I think when Tim first decided he wanted to start a charity organization, that was one of the biggest things that he wanted to do. He wanted to be relatable. He wanted to be a face. He wanted to be, the role model for specifically these kids that are on the south side of Chicago who have been affected by violence in some kind of way, right? Whether they've seen it firsthand, whether they've experienced it, whether they're the offender. When you think of the south side of Chicago and the White Sox, to be honest, you don't really, or baseball in general, you just don't think about African-American role models. You don't think about African-American players. And Tim's goal specifically with the charity is to give those kids who are on the south side of Chicago or, you know, the African American community or the, you know, minority community in general, just to give them, just that knowledge that there is an alternate route, you know, to be a leader. There is, you know, a different lane that you can step into. It doesn't have to be what you may see every day.
Breed, is it hard to reach some of these kids?
Not at all. So you would think, right? Because they're we work with a lot of teenagers, and you know how teenagers are. But Tim is so relatable. So he listens to the same music that they listen to. Heck, he probably knows some of the artists that they're listening to, right?
Sure.
Or his family, like his brothers, his father. He comes from that background. So it's so authentic when they get him in the room and they just, they don't talk about, the tragedies. They talk about real life things, cars, music, what's going on. Like
what's the real things that are going
exactly.
on around them.
So that it makes it easier for those kids to kind of open up and share their experiences.
We're speaking with Bree Anderson, the wife of White Sox star shortstop Tim Anderson, and Martha Jo Black, author and daughter of pitcher Joe Black. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the WGN Skyline studio by Martha Jo Black, my good friend, daughter of the 1952 National League Rookie of the Year, Joe Black. Yeah. First African-American pitcher to win a World Series game in the major leagues.
Yes.
And on the phone is Bree Anderson, who is out in spring training and just out of the pool with the kids in Arizona, the wife of White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson. And we're this is, as I've said earlier, this is kind of my homage to Black History Month that I like to try to do here. And Bree touched on something, and I think, Martha Jo, we've talked about this before, about Black role models, and how part of the reason you wrote the book about your father was you kind of felt that black males as fathers didn't were getting stereotyped.
Yes, I believe they were. I know for myself, since my parents, like a lot of, unfortunately, young people, your parents get divorced, and my father won sole custody of me in the mid-70s, which was rare. I grew up in Arizona, where Bree and Tim are right now in Arizona, which at the time was 1% black. And when my father won custody, he was very surprised, but he was very grateful, because his biggest thing during the whole entire divorce proceedings was, my daughter needs more than a check. She needs love, time, and loyalty, and that is why he won custody of me. And I think there are a lot of brown fathers out there, from African American to Hispanic, that do a lot of things, and they help a lot of children, and we don't hear about them.
Well, and Bree, coming back to you, I mean, that's why I'm very interested in what you guys are doing here, because, as you said, there aren't necessarily a lot of African American male role models
that are in the public, yes.
That are in the public eye.
Right. And if they are, they're either, you know, football, basketball, or rappers, to be honest. If you think about an African American role model for a young kid, in today's generation, I think of millennials and younger. I taught high school for a few years, and that was the typical role model for these kids: athletes or music artists. And unfortunately, baseball is not, there aren't many African-American players in baseball, especially in the major leagues. So that's why Tim is so adamant about being, stepping into that role and playing that part for those kids who, may have tried football or basketball, or who haven't tried anything at all, baseball.
Bree, and then you bring up a point here, and what percent ultimately makes it to a major league sport?
It's uncommon. It's very uncommon.
And so, how when you were teaching, I mean, how do you tell those kids, the chances of this, do your best. Absolutely. You don't want to dissuade anybody, but this is not necessarily going to be a way out.
Yeah. So in those situations, and even now when we're mentoring these kids, we're not telling them to put all your work in so you can be the best baseball player or football player or, hockey player or whatever. We're telling them, we're really hoping that they channel that leadership element, that drive, that motivation to be successful in whatever they do. Maybe it's not basketball, but use whatever leadership skills, whatever motivation, that you're able to trigger, let that trigger your success, whatever that looks like for you. Again, it may not be the professional athlete or, the music artist, but, just really teaching that, that work ethic, that leadership is very important.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think most men and women these days, young women, you have daughters, that we have to believe in our dreams, and whatever your dream is, it can come to fruition. I mean, as Rick, you've heard me many a day when I first met you, that my book was actually a dream. And as I said, it's not as good as Dr. King's, but it was very good, because I wanted to do this book. And, Jerry was like, oh, okay, that's great. And
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, sorry, Jerry Reinsdorf. And most people are like, oh, that's nice. You want to try to write a book. So most people, again, thought it would never get published. Well, my book did get published with Todd's as well, same publisher in Chicago. And I've been very fortunate about that. And that was my dream. But I was not going to let anything stop me from getting it. I never wrote a book before. I didn't have any avenues to who I was going to speak to or whatever. Yes, I speak to Rick Pearson, and he's on WGN, but he's like, I don't know who you can get it published by. Oh, okay, all right. But, you know, it happened to be one of my clients, but again, that was a dream. And as you and Tim, young people need to know your dreams are real, and you should go for it.
And you definitely- and also that, yeah, that element of, you know, it's not going to be easy, right?
Correct.
So Ricky made the point that, you know, not everybody makes it to the professional level. You know, there's that grind. There is, you know, that adversity. And I think, you know, with that's why Tim loves being on the White Sox, because he didn't, you know, get drafted to a team that was, you know, winning, you know, every single game or going, you know, to the World Series. Like,
yeah.
You know, he really thrived on, you know, being that underdog and, you know, just kind of putting in that work because he saw the vision, you know, and
right.
Just really trying to transfer that to these young minds. Like, wow, it will, you know, it could be amazing.
Yeah. And I think of Martha Jo's father who, you know, after the baseball career kind of remade himself.
Right. He did more after baseball than he did playing. I mean, he played for the half of his life, baseball in the Negro Leagues, Cuban Winter League, but he did so much more, especially in the African-American community afterwards, from doing college programs, paying for Greyhound Corporation, had different programs that they did for minorities to go back to school to get their college education. And that was the biggest thing because, as Bree said, and Tim agrees, that our bodies get older, even though we act like we're young. And with that, you cannot be a professional athlete for the rest of your life. So your mind is something you can definitely fall back on.
Well, and that's where leadership kind of steps in.
Exactly.
And you know, yes, there's leadership on the field. There's leadership
right,
there's in a sport.
But
there's leadership at your job. There's
yes.
leadership in your heart.
Right. And there's leadership in the community that you live in.
Well, and for example, you didn't really say, but at Greyhound, your father was the first African-American
vice president of
major transportation
yes,
executive
in
the
country. Yeah.
And it started out in a way is almost like the company was trying to stereotype them.
Right. No, they definitely were. And like as it could happen for Tim later on in life, my father got that position because he was with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So they knew that the African-American community knew who my father was because of that. My father was Jackie Robinson's roommate. So everybody and to this day should know who Jackie Robinson is. And because of that, they were like, well, we want to put him out there because we don't want anybody to think Greyhound is racist. Because if you remember, the Freedom Riders were on a Greyhound bus that got burned. And so my father was the face that they put there. And African-Americans were like, oh, okay. They don't dislike us. That was just those mean people that did that to that bus.
And yeah, and we won't even get into the whole world of marketing today. Martha Jo Black, author, daughter of Joe Black. Thank you so much for joining
thank
me.
You.
And Bree Anderson.
Hi.
So
more thing, Rick. I just want to make note. Tim
sure.
Just launched his YouTube channel yesterday.
Okay.
So any YouTubers out there, be sure to check out Tim's channel, Tim Anderson 7. I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Bree. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Look forward to seeing you at the Sox Park.
Thank you. Talk soon.
We'll
Bye,
be back
Bree.
With more right after this.